You are natural born badass. And I got proof to back it up, no matter what anyone has to say about it. Hey everyone, what's up? This is Tor Mateo, and welcome to a new episode of Half-Ass to Badass. How do entrepreneurs, business owners, and experts influence themselves, their clients, and teams to maximize profitability, efficiency, and create lasting impact? How do they simplify life and business and yet still achieve more? What's the one thing separating the mediocre from the best? This podcast will give you the answers and reveal the secret strengths and the not-so-easy-to-admit flaws of your life. My name is Satori Mateo, and welcome to the Half-Ass to Badass podcast. Let's start today's episode by defining what a badass is and what it is not. It's not a postured, pretending, working really hard, you know, look at me, I'm so cool attitude. A badass is unapologetic. It doesn't mean they're not empathetic. They're simply not going to minimize, tippy-toe, and undervalue themselves just to make others feel more comfortable. They don't see others as victims. They have a strong belief in humanity and human potential. They are resilient. See, badasses go after what they want, and they're fearless. Now, pay attention. I didn't say they don't have any fears. They fear less. You see, they tap into who they are and don't question themselves all the time. Badasses don't settle. They don't settle for mediocrity. They don't want a mediocre life. They don't settle for a half-ass business, marriage, performance. They're not interested in living an okay life. You see, badasses, just like us, we don't live according to other people's beliefs and values. We carve out our own path. We are leaders, not followers. Badasses want to change things for the better. They are unshakable. They're unwavering in their conviction, yet flexible and adaptable. Are you with me? Let's try it. Just say it. I'm a badass. Come on, a little bit louder. I'm a badass. Come on, nobody's watching you. Here's the truth. As a badass, you don't have to say it. You just know. You own it. Does that make sense? When I was 5 years old, I had a dream. I remember standing by this white picket fence at kindergarten in Stockholm, in Sweden. And it's this beautiful sunny afternoon. It's springtime. And I can smell that fresh air. And it's one of those days, you know, the first days when I could use sneakers and t-shirt after cold Swedish winter. And I'm looking as far as I could see. And I'm looking at these treetops in the horizon and the sun is glittering. And I'm thinking, that must be America. One day, I'm going to live there. And I'm going to have a wife and she's going to be sitting next to me when I'm driving my sports car. And I know, whatever I was looking at, it was probably about 10 minutes away, right? It was not far. I wanted that dream so bad. I wanted to live in America so I could be cool. I wanted to be a badass. You see, Friday nights was my favorite because I would sit on the floor with my candy, my Cabo and Indian toys, and I would be watching the McKeans, right? Watching Luke and Seb McKeon. They were played by Bruce Boxleitner and James Arness. And I used to watch series like Kojak with Telly Savalas, Beretta, you know, the detective series played by Robert Blake. Like, these guys were badasses, right? They were heroes. And I always trying to help the underdog. Growing up, I was struggling with people trying to always play inside the box, playing inside the rules of mediocrity, right? People were careful and tippy-toeing and being apologetic. Nobody really wanted to stand out. And I had a real problem with that. I didn't know why then, because people were just trying to fit in into the mold and not be themselves. That was really frustrating. What made it worse was when people would say, well, Satori, you know, let them win. You don't have to win all the time. And I felt like I had to play small so others wouldn't feel less than. Does that make sense? I don't know if you can relate to that, but, you know, rather than everyone challenging each other to get better, right, our nature is to compete. And I see that in my kids all the time. It's natural, right? They always try to compete and outdo them each other. They don't wake up in the morning thinking, you know, how can I lose today, right? It's the adults that get uncomfortable, treating the kids like they're weak and defective. I don't like that. The problem wasn't that there were others that were better. It was that I had to go against my nature and be smaller. Right? Does that make sense? Now, something amazing happened when I was training martial arts and playing guitar, because I noticed that I could always compete with myself. I could always push my own limits, my own boundaries. I could always challenge myself to get better. Are you with me? So I decided I was going to be the best, right? In my karate classes, I practiced harder. When I was a young teenager, I secretly pushed to kick harder and faster than the adults. When they did 20 push-ups, I did 40. When they do a kick and punch combination, I would finish before they even started, right? I would do anything I could to find something that would help me grow and get better. Because I realized that training with people that were better than me was how I was going to get better. And I did the same with my guitar practice. I would literally seek out the best guitar players and I would play their records and I would imitate what they did so I could play like them. And I would practice guitar. I would practice like 5-6 hours a day. I would fall asleep in the couch with my guitar in my lap. My friends would tell me, you know, come on, man, chill. Just come out and hang out. Don't you get bored training all the time? You know, you gotta have some fun. To me, playing and training and seeing progress was fun to me. And here's the thing, you know, because I value connection and friendships so much, I would go out and I would party. And I did that for a long time. And now playing and training was so much better to me than waking up at 2 p.m. with a massive hangover. For almost 10 years, I stopped pursuing martial arts, though. I only played guitar when it was convenient. And literally, I stopped focusing on my dreams. When I finally decided to pursue my childhood dream that I had when I was 5 years old, to live in America, right? I was 23 years old. Now, when I landed at LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, and I put my foot on U.S. soil, I felt I was home for the very first time in my life. 9 months later, I was a world champion in karate. And within a year, I had a very successful martial arts school. And not only was I able to support myself financially through my art, I was also able to change lives, to change families, and be able to share my gift. Now, in the end, all this meant that had I continued to accept mediocrity, had I continued to play small and demand less of myself than I knew that I was capable of, I would have never fulfilled my dream. I would have never had the impact I have today. And you and I would never have this conversation right now. A while back, I had a client, an entrepreneurial mom of two, and she was struggling with how to raise her teenage son. She said to me, my son's teacher is saying that my son is disruptive and that he pushes other kids' buttons, right? He challenges them, which they don't like. And I can't talk to him about it. Now, her son, you know, she's fighting literally every word she's saying and just feels like this kind of disdain, right? Like, doesn't, you know, like being around her. And he's literally a mirror of her husband. And I could, you know, when I'm speaking to her, I can really feel her pain. I can feel her desperation. And, you know, something has to shift, right? So I ask her, you know, are you taking the teacher's side? Are you trying to change your son and getting into conflicts with him? I mean, that's what you're doing, right? She goes like, yeah, well, yes. Well, it's my job as a parent to teach him manners and how to behave. I kind of interrupted her. I said, actually, no. Your job as a parent is not to apologize for your son's behavior, to make him feel stupid for being himself. It's to recognize your own fears showing up, thinking that you're a bad parent just because someone else feels uncomfortable. And, you know, that happens a lot. You know, we confuse being persistent or being pushing boundaries like we're being rude or disrespectful or something like that. And it's not like that at all. But that's kind of what we've been taught many times. And so she's looking at me, you know, she's like, what do you mean? Well, I was like, you know, she kind of sounded confused, right, and surprised that I didn't agree with her. And I said to her, you know, this is not an easy conversation to have, but it's an important one. Because a part of you is wanting to protect the teacher and the other kids from your son's disrespect, right, or so-called disrespect, and making other kids uncomfortable. And that's putting them in a victim position, literally underestimating their ability to handle challenges or handle situations that are uncomfortable, making them fragile and painting a picture of your son as the villain. They don't need your protection. And more important, your son's resentment and resistance to anything you have to say to him comes from the constant trying to mold his behavior so it will make you look good as a parent. Now, I know this may sound kind of harsh or maybe very direct, but you know, we had a good relationship and she knew I was only wanting to help her. That was out for her good, right? So I wouldn't suggest to have that kind of straight conversation with anybody, you know, unless you have some kind of connection, some kind of rapport with them. But here's the thing. We're never going to know what we're made of, who we are, or who others are, if we're trying to protect ourselves and others from pain. So my question really is, how do I know that you are a badass? Right? How do I know, and how do you claim and own that you are? Right? That's a good question, right? I'll reveal a secret in just a moment, but just think about it. See, we live in a world of amateurs, a world of mediocrity. It's true. It's completely rampant. It's crazy. It's everywhere you go, right? Average expectations. Being average today is the norm. Like, amateurs are consistently performing at low levels. So people's expectations today, you know, is average performance. So when you do something different, when you own your value and you own your dark side, and yes, you do have a dark side, and I'll talk about that in a different episode. But when you do that, when you own your value, people wake up for a moment and they go like, what's that? What's going on here? This is different, right? They react to it because they're noticing something different. And I believe it's harder to be mediocre than it is to be badass, right? It's harder. It requires a lot more energy, a lot more focus, because you have to work hard, really hard, to minimize yourself and play small. You understand that? You were born a badass, all right? Now, do you think I'm kidding? It's not a joke. You were designed to be the best. The problem is you've been conditioned, you've been trained to forget your true nature. I know you may not remember that day. You know, you were ready, right? You were wearing your best gear. And you're off to the race, right? You and 300 million other sperms. All designed to swim. But you won, right? 300 million to one. You get that? 300 million to one. See, you've forgotten about that. But you were born to win. And you were totally unapologetic about it. Right? Weren't you? You didn't apologize. You didn't, like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I tripping you? Oh. No, you were swimming, right? And you won. Then what happened, right? You worked, like myself and most people, right? You worked most of your life fighting to not stand out, fighting hard to be good, right? To be a good girl, good boy. Then what happened? You worked most of your life, me included, fighting to not stand out, fighting hard to be good. Right? So people will like and approve of you. You fought really hard to forget about your nature. But you're designed to be a badass. There's no question about it. And whenever you try to work against your nature, it's so much harder. Being mediocre is hard because you have to be something you're not. That's hard. That's difficult. That's exhausting. Right? You're fighting and using so much energy and focus on something you actually can't even accomplish. Right? You really have to invent behaviors and new language patterns just to be mediocre. Right? You have to be hesitant, right? You have to act uncomfortable, and you have to, you know, question yourself all the time, right? And you have to say things like, "It's okay, I'll try. I don't know if I can do this. We'll see," right? Being like all weird and stuff. It's not you, right? So you're constantly questioning your ability and who you are. That's exhausting. Don't you agree? Right? So you have to work really hard to minimize, to undervalue, and to shrink yourself. When you choose to own that you are a badass, you're going with nature. That's why when you commit yourself to be the best, to be yourself, there's no competition. There's zero competition. Zero. You see, domination is the game. Are you getting this? You with me? Here's the problem. Most people's standards are way low because the expectations of themselves and of the people around them are low. Oh, it's okay. Don't expect too much. Don't ask too much of yourself. Don't dream too big because you may be disappointed. I mean, this is the world we live in. That's not growth. That's death. You understand? We set standards where we shut off who we really are. And a big problem is bad advice or bad coaching. And for me, I say be highly selective of who you take your advice and coaching from. I only train with the best. I promise it will save you years of pain and struggle. Another common problem is that we all spend way too much time, I would say probably all of us, listening to others whining and complaining. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? This is not about positive thinking. I'm not talking about this from a place of being positive, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding your nature and your design. That's not being positive. It's just the truth. You were designed to fight. Now, what happens when you're designed to do that? Well, with that comes challenges, resistance, and battles to face. But that's all part of nature. It's all part of growth. Embrace it. You were designed to win. You were designed to succeed. Anything else, anything apart from that, is a lie. Anyway, only work with the best. I'm going on this off this rant here, but I'm really serious about this. I mean, nobody with mediocre dreams or who is settling for less than who they really are would ever come to work with me, right? Why? Because amateurs recognize quickly that they're not going to be able to hide. You see, I'm not asking you to be anything you're not. I'm asking you to claim and own you. No apologies. So my question to you is, what are you here to claim? What's the thing you are here to own? If you have it in your head right now, write it down. Write it down. If you don't, then think about it. What's the thing you want to be the best at? What's the thing you want to dominate? What's the thing that's going to separate you from all the mediocre people around you? Whatever you decide you want to master, whatever you say you want to claim, it's yours. Amateurs give up way, way too early. You were not born that way. You were not born to give up. See, we are here to fight. Fight for your dreams, for my dreams, for each other's dreams. We're here to fight together. That's how dreams happen. The question is not, will they? The question is just, when will they? And this is why focus, precision-based growth that I've talked about before, and productivity, being responsible for your time, respecting your time, is so critical, so important. It's so important if we want to be unshakable and own, you know, for lack of a better word, our inner badass, right? There are 31,536 seconds in a year. Each second counts. Right? Understand that. These are non-refundable seconds. Therefore, you got to manage your non-refundable seconds and don't waste your time talking to people about crap. Right? Talking to people about things that are meaningless. You and I have been called for greatness, to leave a legacy. Now, how do I know? Because we wouldn't be here otherwise. And you, my friend, you wouldn't be listening to me right now unless you could recognize the truth. Right? We are present here. We're focused. I'm here right now, present with you right now. We gotta be ruthless. Let's embrace it. Right? Let's own it every morning. There's no time to listen to the battle cry of amateurs. So here's my invitation to you. I want you to prepare your mind. I want you to prepare your thinking, your feelings. Prepare your mission. Prepare what you're about to go after. You know why? Because no one else will do that for you. Everyone else will try to have you not do those things, not because they don't care, because in contrast, living in the mediocre world, you become a threat. And amateurs don't want to feel uncomfortable. They will try to minimize you. It doesn't make them bad. It just makes them very dangerous. Just like there are people in traffic that shouldn't have a license, right? If you don't pay attention, they'll kill you. You must fight against that. This is a fight against mediocrity. Listen, I'm not trying to sound dramatic. I'm only wanting to remind you of the truth. If you don't take care of the good bacteria, bad bacteria will take over. It's as simple as that. You'll find it everywhere. You'll hear it in people's victimhood statements. You'll hear it in people diminishing what they believe they're capable of. It's like a bad virus. It really doesn't require a lot to be a badass. It requires that you define what it is that you want to own and consistently be doing that. I know a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people, they get up at early, right? They get up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And for some people, that, and that's very important. And I used to do that for quite some time because that's a time for you to prepare, right? It's time for you to think. It's time for you to mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and physically get yourself ready. Now, you know, that time can be flexible. Just got to decide on what you want to do, right? Of course, if you want to join the 5 a.m. club that people talk about, then you also have to have a 9 or 10 p.m. club because you must rest, right? This is why so many people fail at it. They're not willing to adjust their sleep patterns. So I'm not asking you to push. I'm not asking you to do the hustle, right? I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to thrive. And I don't believe it's smart to go to bed at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning and hope that you're going to be your best at 5 or 6 a.m. That's just not smart, right? I mean, anybody can do that for a while, but we're not after average results here. I want you to be the best. I want you to be consistent. I want you to own your badass. Own that you are a badass. So this is a long-term game. And that's why we need to be resilient, but we also need to be smart, right? And the reason why is because you need to have the energy. You need to have the focus. You need to have the stamina to perform, right? To go after what you want, right? Now, what is that for you? Well, that's you doing what you do to make money. That's you doing what you do to be an amazing lover, to be the best parent. That's you being on stage. That's you playing the game. That's you being, you know, on Facebook Live and sharing your message, sharing your expertise, being an authority. That's you delivering an outstanding webinar. That's you being in a one-on-one conversation. Right? That's when you do when you are being a badass performing your thing, your expertise. But you got to be ready for it, right? You got to be ready to do that. If we're talking about being an amazing mom, dad, spouse, coworker, team player, whatever that is, right? You got to learn how to influence. This all comes down to you being able to influence your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. And of course, the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of other people as well, right? And you practice that in your life, right? Kids are master influencers, right? They're masters at it. They know how to sell anything. And somewhere along the line, you probably forgot. Or someone told you that it was bad. Don't be so persistent, right? Don't be pushy, right? Somebody shut you down. That was wrong. It's time to change that. So why do people give up on their dreams? Because they quit, right? People quit, not because they're not able, not because they can't achieve what they want. Most people quit because they don't own their worth. So they have many emotional charges of guilt and shame that are completely loaded into their nervous system, loaded into their life. And so they shut down and they don't take action on the things that matter to them, right? We don't want to look bad. We don't want to be disappointed, and we don't want to disappoint. I mean, my question to you is, how long are you going to face pain before you decide it's not worth it? Right? Most people give up quickly. They don't give up because they can't achieve what they want, but because they have not been taught the truth and they believe a lie. So get clear on and become relentless about eliminating anything that slows you down, anything that creates friction. Get rid of it. Remove it from your life. Does that make sense? Are you following this? This is so critical. I'm here to fight with you. I'm here to fight mediocrity. Most people say they don't want to fight anything. But the truth is, we can't escape it. You can't escape it. You got to stand for something, claim this spot of whatever you want to dominate, and be ruthless about realizing it. You understand? If you don't fill your time, your energy, your space, your focus with things that matter, someone will fill the space with things that don't matter to you. That makes sense? I hope you're following this. I think this is so critical. I know that may be kind of like, you know, serious kind of conversation here, but it's important, don't you think? Remember how I said in episode 2, how I realized that my mission is to end human suffering? Well, even if I don't accomplish it all in this lifetime by myself, someone else will pick up after me, right? But I want to be in the game. I want to know that I contributed. I want to know that I made a difference, right? And you can do the same thing. You will inspire someone you mentor, someone you love, and someone will pick up after you. But listen, nobody will pick up anything unless you stand for something and put the stake in the ground, right? So let me ask you, what's the one thing we know is going to happen when we accept a goal, when we make a commitment, when we take something on, when we take on a challenge? What do we know is going to happen? What's predictable and guaranteed to happen? Failures, challenges, obstacles, lots of things are going to happen. Resistance is going to kick in, right? It's going to show up. But this is not a sign to stop or change the target or what you stand for. We don't quit. That's for amateurs, and that's not you. We don't settle for targets that are less important or don't matter as much just so we can feel competent. That's crazy. Now, why is that important? Because when you settle, you'll never feel satisfied. You kill the dream. Your commitment to your original dream will never work because you didn't give it the focus, the time, and dedication it needed. The biggest reason of all? You will never find out what you're really made of. You won't know your true potential. Most people, right, settle for something less, a lot less, than the real dream. Now, why is that? Because they don't want to have the disappointment. They don't want to feel disappointed if they don't achieve what they want. And many times, they don't even believe they can achieve what they want. That, my friend, is a distraction and a guarantee you won't achieve what you're after. Because when you set a goal, when you set a target, when you go for it, just imagine how confusing it is for the brain when you go for something, right? And then you have some other target that you're going to go for at the same time, right? It doesn't work. Even if that's in the background, right? You're going to be distracted and pulled away from your commitment. You see, it's like a missile programmed for a target. It's going to have to go for one or the other. It can't do both. Or like the famous saying goes, if you chase two rabbits, then what? That's right. You will not catch either one. Focus on what you're here to accomplish. So my question for you is, what do you want to go after? How will you demonstrate to yourself that you're not half-assing things? What do you want to claim? Think about it. Are you thinking? I know, it's a little different kind of episode here, right? Anyway, let's say like you know what it is and you've thought about it. Now what? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go own your worth without any apologies. you were born a badass. Listen, if this episode inspired you and you know someone else, a team, a family member, a friend who could benefit from this podcast, share it. Let's remind them of who they are. Talk to you in the next episode. Take it easy.